Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans 1:16. See a couple more faces this week than we saw last week, and that is awesome. To those of you that are joining us online or by radio, I talked to a couple of different folks this week that just said like it's just not time for them to get out yet. Just know we completely understand that. We love you, we miss you, and you take as much time as you need to safely enter back into normal life and come back to church. That's why we're doing it this way. We still have everything online and on the radio. And for those of you in the fellowship hall, welcome. If I haven't seen you yet, we're glad you're here with us today. Man, it's good to be back together for so many reasons. And in a sense, I want you guys to know, like, I am happy to have somebody sitting in the pews while I preach. But that's like the bottom of the reasons. I'm so glad to be back together with you guys. It just encourages my heart to see you, to look at you and say, how are you doing? And in your eyes, watch your eyes as you say, I'm doing all right. I'm doing good. It's just good to see you. It's good to be with you. It's good to hear voices sing as we sing, isn't it, Dustin? Man, it's so good to be back together. And I'm anxious to continue down this road with you guys and get more and more of us back in the sanctuary together. But for today, I'm glad to be in here with y'all. Glad to know you guys are gathered in the sanctuary and glad to know you're with us by radio and online. Romans 1:16 is where we are today. So if you aren't already there in your copy of God's Word, I want to encourage you to get there. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. 3 weeks ago, we looked at the first few verses of this chapter. We saw that the gospel is about God. And then week two, we took another chunk of verses and we saw that God does things in us and for us and through us when we are together physically. There is a need. To be with them. There were things that he knew that God would accomplish once they were together physically. And so one of the many reasons we're glad to be back together today, right? And then last week, we saw in Romans chapter 1, 13, 14, and 15 that Paul had an obligation to the world, a debt to the world, and the debt he owed to the gospel. And we saw that we have that same debt to the world. God has given us the gospel to give the gospel to the world. And so with that thought in mind, we pick up in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. So let's read it, and then we're going to pray and ask the Lord to lead us through this verse this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We are thankful to be able to be together in some sense today. We know many are still spread out in their homes. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would just minister to them with your Spirit and your Word, even as they're physically separated from us. We ask for your wisdom to understand your Word. We ask for your courage to be able to apply it to our lives. And Lord, we just ask for the desire for our hearts and our minds to reflect the truth that we find in this verse, Lord. If there's any among us listening or with us today that don't yet know you, have yet to surrender to you, may have doubts about you and your goodness and the truth of what you say in your word, Lord, we pray that those doubts would be settled today. Lord, we pray that today you would grant them faith and repentance and they would joyfully come to you for salvation. Lord, we love you. We ask that you would do things that only you can among us this morning. Amen? All right. Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks." So two pieces of truth this morning, and then we're going to take those two pieces of truth about Paul and kind of shake them out into our lives. Okay, you ready? All right. Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." First piece of truth, real obvious, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. So the first thing we need to do is we need to delve into what Paul is not ashamed of, the gospel. So quickly, we just want to define, we try to do this every week when we're together, we want to define what the gospel is. It is the good news of Jesus Christ and what God has done for us in his Son. So we are sinners. I am a sinner, a rebeller against God. I've sinned against my Creator. You also have sinned against your Creator. And because we have sinned against God, we deserve our just punishment, his wrath. The Bible defines that as death, not just here and now, but for all of eternity, separation from God in hell forever. That's what you and I deserve because of our rebellion against God. But because of God's great love, his mercy and his grace towards us, he sent his Son to do what we have not and could not and cannot, to live a perfectly righteous life in our place. And Jesus did exactly that, tempted in every way we are, yet without sin. Amen? He was perfect. He is our perfect Savior, our sinless Savior. And then Jesus went on to die in our place as our substitute. On the cross, when Jesus died, he was paying my penalty for my sin and your penalty for your sin. Because he was the Son of God, he was able to pay all of our penalties for all of our sins at one time, dying once and for all. Amen? That's good news. So out of God's grace and love and mercy for us, he sent his Son to do those things, live in our place, die in our place. And we know all of that to be true because 3 days later, after Jesus died, he walked out of the grave, securing victory over death and sin, so that we might be able to believe in him and have life in him. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. For those of us who are Christians here and gather with us online, we know that to be true. We sing because of that. We gather because of that every Sunday. If you're not a Christian or you're skeptical of who Jesus is and whether what the Bible says he did, he really did, like he really rose from the dead, we say to you that the gospel is true. And salvation really is available to you if you place faith in Jesus, the one who lived for you, died for you, and rose from the dead for you. And this news of Jesus is what Paul says he's not ashamed of. He's not ashamed of this good news of Jesus, of the gospel. You with me so far? Paul's not ashamed of that. Seems like a strange statement to make. Why would anyone that's believed the good news be ashamed of it? This word ashamed, I want to kind of look at what it means in the way that Paul used it here. It means that if you do something, you might actually have an experience of a painful feeling inside of you. Like, if you've ever done something that you were ashamed of and you think back on that action, that maybe you were short-tempered with your spouse or your child or someone whom you love, and you so clearly see that as wrong now. Like, it hurts you in your heart. Like it was wrong. You're ashamed of it. So Paul says, I don't have that feeling in my heart about the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. It's also shame is to fear the loss of status. So we think of school age kids, right? They wear certain clothes, they walk certain ways, they carry themselves and use certain words to keep a certain status, right? We adults would never do that, right? But their desire is to keep a certain status, and they do certain things, and the truth is we do certain things, and we don't do certain things so that we can keep that status among the people we interact with. And if we don't do something, or we do something that brings us shame, we fear that loss of status, that loss of respect, that loss of maybe friendship or relationship or whatever it is, that loss of status. Paul says, when it comes to the gospel, he's not worried about his status. He has no fear of losing his status because of the gospel. It's not that he won't lose status because of the gospel. It's that he's not worried about or fearing the loss of status because of the gospel. So put it in the context of what we were talking about just a moment ago. Students who go to school. Can think of a son whose mom says, "Hey, son, I want you to wear this t-shirt that says, I heart mom on it." And he's like, "Mom, I love you so much. I'm not ashamed to wear this t-shirt." And his sister says, "Your friends are going to make fun of you." And the boy says, "I don't care. I'm not ashamed that I heart mom," right? The reality is he may actually be made fun of. He may actually lose some cool points. He may actually lose some status at school because of his I heart mom t-shirt. But he doesn't care. He doesn't fear that. That's what Paul's saying. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." 1 Corinthians 1:18, we hear this over and over again throughout, especially the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The word folly in 1 Corinthians 1:18 is the same word for foolish or foolishness. We actually see it repeated 5 different times between 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 1 Corinthians 1:26. He uses that word folly or foolishness over and over and over again. Paul wouldn't declare that he's not ashamed of the gospel if there wasn't pressure to be ashamed of the gospel. If there wasn't temptation to be ashamed of the gospel. If there wasn't temptation to be ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1:16 probably would not be in our Bible. But because there is a temptation to be ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1:16 is in our Bible. 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the word of the cross is folly, foolishness to those who are perishing, to those who don't believe it." So if you're an unbeliever, gathered with us here or online or by radio, you may think that the good news of Jesus Christ, that you're a sinner in need of salvation, that God sent his Son to live perfectly and die on the cross in your place and then raise on the third day, conquering sin and death, you probably think on some level that's foolishness. And our prayer is that you would see it differently. 1 Corinthians 1:23, Paul says, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles." So you're saying some of the Jews won't believe it? It's a stumbling block to them. Some of the Gentiles, some of the other nations, people among the other nations won't believe it to either. It's foolishness to them. Not only that, but some of them won't just say it's foolishness, but they'll say that it's morally wrong to preach the gospel. It's reprehensible to them. It's even divisive, so you should not preach it. 2 Corinthians 11:24 through 26 says, this is Paul's testimony of the things he endured as he preached the gospel. He said, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I drifted at sea on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. Why was he in all this danger? It's because people outside of the faith thought the gospel was foolishness and reprehensible, so they attempted him over and over again to stop Paul from preaching it. They thought it was morally wrong for Paul to preach the gospel. They wanted him to feel that pain inside of his heart and his mind when he preached the gospel, that we might feel when we think back on something that we did was wrong. They wanted him to fear the loss of status so that he would not preach the gospel any longer. You may say, well, that seems like a long ways away from us. I mean, Paul lived then, we live now. He lived there, we live here. It's not really a reality for us, but it is, and it's becoming more and more of a reality for us each day. Samaritan's Purse, a relief organization that's well known, that's who does Operation Christmas Child that we've participated in. They do all kinds of relief work around the world. One of the things they do is they provide medical care in the wake of disasters all around the world. And so in New York City, Samaritan's Purse was scheduled to go to New York City in the wake of COVID-19 in the past couple months and set up 2 temporary hospitals with their own nurses and their own doctors who were all volunteers. The catch with Samaritan's Purse is if you volunteer with Samaritan's Purse, you have to align with their beliefs, which is orthodox, traditional Christian beliefs. And they were met. Now they were going in free, set up 2 hospitals with terribly needed doctors and nurses in New York City. And they were met with hostility. They were actually only able to set up 1 hospital, because one of the places that they were supposed to set up rejected them and said they can't set up there. And the hospital they did set up was met with protest. Because one of the reasons was because the trucks that brought in the tents said healing in Jesus' name. The reason that Samaritan's Purse was met with protest was simply this. Because people on the outside of the faith, in some cases, find the gospel morally wrong, reprehensible, divisive, that it should not be preached. So much so that even when we're in dire need of medical care, your doctors and nurses cannot come and care for us. So this reality that Paul was saying is very relevant for us today, isn't it? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling." The reason he said that is because he knew. He knew that that he may be met with that kind of hostility when he began to preach gospel. But he was going to preach it. So Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Now we need to ask a question at this point. Well, Paul, if the gospel causes this much trouble, the good news of Jesus causes this much trouble for you, and for those who preach it, and so many others think is foolishness and even reprehensible and morally wrong to preach it, why do you keep preaching it, Paul? And in this verse he tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." The power of salvation. The word power there in the Greek is the word that we get our word dynamite from. It's dunamis. It's powerful. So the same way that when God spoke in Genesis 1, "Let there be light," and there was that kind of power, the same way that in John chapter 11, Jesus spoke into the tomb of Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come out," that kind of power, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, when it is preached and when it is shared, God gives it that kind of power. The power to move spiritually dead men and women back to life. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God." Let's just pause for a second. So just apply this to your life. Christian, you share the gospel. The power is not in you. Whether or not the other person believes or not is not on you. You don't have to be well spoken enough. You don't have to say the right things with the right timing. You just be faithful to share the gospel. You're not the power of God for salvation. It is. Praise God. That takes a lot of weight off a preacher, I'll tell you right now. For who is it the power of God for salvation? For everyone. For the Jews, but also for the Greeks. That's just Paul's way of saying everyone. It's the power of gospel for whoever believes. He's not saying all, like it's a big group. He's saying every single person that believes, regardless of where they're from, what language they speak, every single person, if an individual believes in the gospel, they will be saved. Period. You say, what does believe mean? It's more than just intellectual assent, like agreeing that it's true. It's surrendering. It's going, okay, Jesus, I'm going to stop trying to save myself with my righteousness. And I agree that really, I never really could, but you did. And so I'm just going to rest in what you've done, Jesus. You're my Lord. That's the belief that the Bible talks about. So just put it all together. Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for salvation. So the sinner damned to hell because of his sin needs salvation. It's power of God for salvation for the sinner, any sinner, every sinner that believes. That just says, okay, Jesus, I'm going to stop trying to get my own salvation. You've done it, and I'm just going to rest in you. Anyone who gets there is saved. And so Paul says, all right, because of that, I don't have a guilty feeling in my heart. I have no pain in my heart when I preach the gospel. I'm not worried about a loss of status. I may lose status, but I'm not worried about it because their salvation is worth whatever status I lose when I preach it. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. It's a really easy decision for Paul. Every person's in eternal danger. The gospel's one thing that will save them and restore them to God. So regardless of what it costs Paul, Paul preaches it. Think of it this way. You've been saved out of a burning building. There's others that are in it. You're about to go in and someone says, "No, no, no. That could you could get hurt. You might not be able to work for a few weeks because of smoke inhalation or burns. And you say, doesn't matter what it costs me, there's people in there dying. If I can get them out, I'm going to. And they say, no, you don't understand. You may die if you go in to save those people. And you say, that's okay. If I can get some out, if I can get one out, then I'll go back in. And that's Paul's reasoning here. He's not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel saves people. So it doesn't matter what it cost him. It doesn't matter what the world thinks of him. He's going to preach it. So, Paul's not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And so two truth pieces this morning. Really, it's just a verse. But how does that apply to us? And this is really where the rubber meets the road, because I don't think any of that is news to us that are familiar with the life of Paul. And here's where I think the rubber meets the road for us when it comes to these two pieces of truth and Romans 1:16 in our lives today. If we were to take a survey among us this morning, or even among all the churches in Grady County, all of us, and we were to say, give us the top two reasons that you don't, as a Christian, you don't share the gospel more, we'd probably receive answers like this. Well, I'm not sure what to say. Or, I don't feel like I know enough to be the person that shares the gospel. Or I might stumble over my words. I may do more harm than actual good if I try to share the gospel. You may hear something like, well, they believe what they believe, and I believe what I believe. But here in this verse, and I think if we're honest, some of us would identify. I know I would identify with some of those things. That fear of going like, I'm not really sure what to say to this particular person. I'm not even sure how to start the conversation. But I think in this verse, it really gets down to the root of the issue for most of us. The root of the issue isn't our knowledge or lack thereof about the gospel. Bottom line is, if we know enough about the gospel to surrender to Jesus, then we know enough about the gospel to tell others about Jesus. So the root of our problem isn't knowledge. The root of our problem isn't the ability to speak well or lack thereof. The root of our problem isn't a qualification, like whether we're a preacher or a teacher or not. I think the root of our problem is what Paul points to in this verse. It's shame. A painful feeling we think we might have when we share the gospel with someone who may not believe it. What will they think when I say this to them or when I say that to them? What will they think of me? Will they think I'm wrong to tell them this? Not just what I'm saying is wrong. Will they think I'm a bad person when I tell them this? Is it even okay for me to push what I believe on them? See, that doesn't have anything to do with whether I know enough. That has to do with that painful feeling in me about whether what I'm doing is right or wrong. It has to do with shame. You keep thinking about this, and there's also a fear of a loss of status, right? What if my family member or my friend or my neighbor or my coworker decides that they don't want to speak to me or have this relationship with me anymore after I broach this subject? What if this makes me an outsider or strange to them or morally wrong to them, or they view me as divisive or even reprehensible to them or foolish because I believe this? Even in some churches, you hear the question of, why are you trying to push what you believe on them when they already have what they believe? See, that's just a roundabout way of saying preaching the gospel is morally wrong. Here's the deal, church. All those thoughts, all those feelings that get down to the root of why we are silent have to do with shame. When it gets down to it, if we were come face to face with someone that we could have shared the gospel with, and they now know that it's true, and they say, why didn't you? We can stumble across all the excuses we want to. I didn't know enough. I wasn't sure how to start the conversation with you. This or that. But the truth is, in most cases, for most Christians, the reason that we are silent, and if we're honest, we would say in that conversation with that person that we could have and should have shared the gospel with, I was just ashamed. I wasn't sure what you would think of me after that particular conversation. And this is where Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So in the case that they hear it and they think you're foolish, their fate has not changed. In the case that they hear it and they think you're foolish, your status has changed, but their fate has not changed. But the one day that they hear your words again in their mind and in their heart and they do believe, then they've gained everything. So Christian, this is why we need not be ashamed of the gospel. We need to be honest in our hearts. For the sake of those around us, we need to be honest in our hearts. It's a hard question for me to answer. I want to encourage you to just search your heart in the next few moments, but over the course of the next couple weeks, asking the Lord, Lord, am I ashamed of the gospel? Is the reason that I don't share it more, does it really boil down to whether or not I'm ashamed of it? And just know that if he says yes, like, man, his mercy and his grace are great. And he may say, yes, child, you are ashamed of me. And that's the point where we can go, Father, please help me not to be ashamed. Help me to live in such a way and in my heart be such a way like Paul was in Romans 16. Father, I want to be unashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So help me to be. Perhaps that needs to be your prayer today. I know it needs to be mine. Father, help me to be unashamed of the gospel. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, right? We just sang it, but is it true of us? Dustin, can I change? Can we sing it? All right, brother, we're singing it again. And if you're unsure of whether it's true of you or not, that you love to proclaim it, that you're unsure of it, then may this song be your prayer as we close out today. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If you're not a Christian today, know that you can come to him today with nothing in your hands and say, Jesus, save me. And we are here to show you in the word what that means. So come forward as we sing, or grab one of us after we're over, or send us a message, or give us a call, and we would love to show you in the word what it means to give your life to Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. You're great and holy and wonderful, better than we could ever imagine. And Lord, we know you. And Lord, we want the world to know you. They have no idea just how good you are. It seems foolish to them. Lord, we pray that many right now in Grady County